reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, continuing where we left off yesterday in Adi Lila chapter 4. The scriptures proclaim that Lord Krishna previously descended to take away the burden of the earth. To take away this burden, however, is not the work of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The maintainer, Lord Vishnu, is the one who protects the universe. Then we get to today's verse. Kintu Krishna Jai Hoy Avatar Kala Bada Harana Kala Tate Haila Mishala. But the time to lift the burden of the world mixed with the time for Lord Krishna's incarnation. Purport. We have information from Bhagavad Gita that the Lord appears at particular intervals to adjust a time-worn spiritual culture. Lord Sri Krishna appeared at the end of Dwarka Yuga to regenerate the spiritual culture of human society and also to manifest his transcendental pastimes. Vishnu is the authorized Lord who maintains the created cosmos, and he is also the principal deity who makes adjustments for improper administration in the cosmic creation. Sri Krishna is the primeval Lord, and he appears not to make such administrative adjustments, but only to exhibit his transcendental pastimes, and thus attract the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead. However, the time for administrative rectification and the time for Lord Sri Krishna's appearance coincided at the end of the last Dwarka Yuga. Therefore, when Sri Krishna appeared, Vishnu, the Lord of Maintenance, also merged in him, because all the plenary portions and parts of the Absolute Personality of Godhead merged in him during his appearance. Om Jnana Chimanandasya Jnananjana Shlokaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Guru Ananda Sri Advaitivada Sri Vasadi Gopa Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We are now listening to some inner workings of the avatar science. Every human being should take a degree in avatar kata. We should know that Krishna is always coming. We should not feel that we are alone in the cosmos, as so many people feel these days. We discussed yesterday how people are so busy with communications in every way in the information age, but they're actually more lonely than ever before. If we actually understand the avatar science, if we take our degree, our university degree in avatar kata, then we'll see that this feeling of being abandoned in the cosmos is ridiculous. As the Bhagavatam explains in the first canto, just like you can't count all the waves in the ocean, certainly you cannot count all the avatars of the Supreme Lord. If you go to some part of Wales where they have some waves in the water, who will sit on the beach and count them? Have any of you ever done that? No. You say, why should I count the waves in the ocean? They're always coming, one after another, on and on and on. It goes like. Similarly, there are two things you shouldn't worry about counting, according to Shastra. This is especially important in this dense iron age of quantification. A time when everything, an age, a yuga, when everything has to be quantified in order for it to be considered absolute truth. You have to be able to measure the thing with a gauge or some kind of instrument. All the data has to be quantifiable data. Then it's known as tough of truth. So, you should know in this dense darkness of the age of quantification that there are two things you shouldn't even bother worrying about trying to quantify. Number one is how many appearances of the Lord come to the material world. As we just said, you can't count the waves in the ocean. Similarly, don't bother trying to understand how many times Krishna comes. The number is unlimited. You can't figure it out. And then what's the other thing you shouldn't try to count? Who knows? In Shastra, in Bhagavatam? Kalayat Goshan Midhe Rajan Astiheko Mahanguna. The age of Kali is called a Doshan Midhe, an ocean of faults. Don't bother to try to count the faults in the age of Kali. We'll never get to the end. So those two things you should remember. Don't try to count the number of incarnations, avatars of the Supreme Lord, and don't try to count the faults in Kali Yuga. You'll never get to the end. Asti heko mahanguna. There's certainly only one good thing amongst this huge ocean of faults known as Kali Yuga. Certainly, no doubt about it. Asti heko. Only one. Don't bother looking for anything else. If you understand this principle from Shukadeva Goswami, you'll save yourself so much trouble. Don't try to find anything good and of value in the age of Kali except one thing. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangapanam. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, you can get the perfection of life. Nothing else is good in this age. Nothing. Doesn't matter what car you have, Ford, Mercedes. Doesn't even matter what computer you have, PC or Mac, Apple. Nothing good in this age. Only the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. That's it. Now, the Shastra explains that the chanting of Hare Krishna is actually effective in all the yugas, even the almost perfect ideal Satya Yuga. But it's just that the people in Satya Yuga are so advanced. In fact, they're not even Varnashram Dharma then. There's just one class of persons, the Hamsas, the swan-like persons. So, the people are so advanced, what do they think? Hare Krishna chanting is so simple. There's got to be more than that in order to go back to Godhead. So therefore they spend thousands of years, 60,000 years in meditation. Because they can't believe that simply by chanting Hare Krishna and Rama, you get perfection. Although it's a fact, the acharyas explain that the chanting of Hare Krishna is effective in all the yugas. Therefore, now you have Kali Yuga. There's no doubt in Kali Yuga. There's only one thing that works. That's the glory of Kali Yuga. There's nothing else to hide behind. There's no other holes to climb into. The only ashraya, the only shelter, is the Hare Krishna mantra, without a doubt. Nothing else effectively works. It's not that the other processes aren't bona fide, it's just they don't deliver the results in Kali Yuga. You can meditate until you fall asleep. You can perform yajnas until you run out of ghee. So many things you can do. Even you can worship the deity, but without the chanting of Hare Krishna, you will not get the result. That's why our deity worship is always accompanied by the holy name of Krishna. You know how in Vrindavan, when it's the installation of Krishna Balaram, how Prabhupada arranged that local brahmanas, instead of our own ISKCON devotees, local brahmanas would do the installation ceremony as a tactical maneuver, because if the people of the area saw that foreign brahmanas were doing the installation, they might consider, you know, their materialistic mentality or misunderstanding that this is not a properly installed deity and this temple is not bona fide. But if they had local brahmanas, caste brahmanas, doing the installation, then they would say, oh, everything is in order. Even though it's a foreign temple, the installation was done by, you know, caste, local Brahmins, so it's all genuine, it's all Hindu kijat. So, Brahma said, oh yeah, okay, let the local caste Brahmanas do the installation ceremony, let them do the puja, because the real installation is done by the devotees chanting Hare Krishna and Kirtan. That is the real installation. So once again, we see that there's only one thing that is effective in Kali Yuga. Now, we're reading about how when Krishna comes, all the avatars, incarnations, expansions, plenary portions, merge in him during his appearance. So therefore, the killing of the demons is done by Vishnu, who's within Lord Krishna. These are the, as you know, the various intricacies of the avatar science. Right now, if I ever get time, I'm supposed to be working on a Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Nicely translated by Gopi Pralana Prabhu. Laghu Bhagavatamrita is meant to be Rupa Goswami's summary of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Because Rupa Goswami, as Baladeva Vijayaprasad explains in his commentary, Rupa Goswami is thinking that Brihad Bhagavatamrita is so big that most people may not be able to read the whole thing. So therefore, Rupa Goswami proposed to do Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Brihad is big, Laghu is small. Do small one so that everyone could take advantage. But that Laghu Bhagavatamrita, actually, it goes into different explorations. This is always a principle in Vaishnava literature, that you don't repeat what the previous senior personality, superior personality has done. Just like Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita is always very careful not to repeat what Vrindavan Das Thakur has presented in Chaitanya Bhagavata, except very briefly. And he always points attention to the work of Vrindavan Das Thakur, saying, I'm just making an inferior version. If you really want the real scoop, you read Vrindavan Das Thakur. Meanwhile, Kaviraj Goswami goes on to write what is considered the most exquisite Vaishnava literature. It's all on the platform of one wonderful perfection, but just like in the spiritual world, you have Vaikuntha, you have Goga Vrindavan. So, similarly, although all the Vaishnava literature that we are focusing upon, they are products of the spiritual world. Nevertheless, Chaitanya Charitamrita is known as the most exquisite. The sweet juice is there, as Kaviraj Goswami quotes from all the Goswami literatures and weaves it into such a wonderful presentation. And quotes from the Bhagavatam, quotes from the Puranas. So, Laghu Bhagavatamrita is actually a handbook of avatar science. You ever read in Bhagavatam, sometimes you read about the appearance of Krishna and the incarnations and you find something that seems to be contradictory. Many devotees, they find these things, they ask, well, what about this, what about that, and this avatar, this incarnation, I mean, there seems to be contradictory details. When you read Laghu Bhagavatamrita, you find out there's a reason for everything. And it really humbles you, because things that you thought were so contradictory, and maybe there's a mistake here, or maybe this and that, Rupa Goswami points out what's really going on. So it's definitely, Laghu Bhagavatamrita is the handbook of avatar science. And it gives you wonderful insight into all the incarnations of the Lord and their relation to Krishna. So, you know that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yada, yada hi dharmasya gane bhakti bharata. Whenever there's a crisis, wherever there's a crisis, where there's dharmasya glani, when the balance of Dharma is disturbed. That Dharma Shaglani means the proper balance between material affairs and society and spiritual activities. Krishna recognizes there has to be some material activities done because you have a material body. But there should be a balance. Now who decides what the balance is? Krishna decides. So whenever Krishna considers that there's too much imbalance, then he comes. That work, as Kaviraj Goswami points out, that work of universal adjustment, cosmic rectification, is actually done by Vishnu. Vishnu is Krishna, but Vishnu doesn't have all the, doesn't display all the wonderful, more confidential qualities and activities that Krishna has. So, what else does the Lord say in Bhagavad Gita? Pritranaya sajunam vinashaya chidushkritam. In order to annihilate the miscreants and to deliver the sadhus, I come. Now, this annihilating of the miscreants, as you heard in Chaitanya Charitamrita just now, that's done by Vishnu. When Lord Krishna, as Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of God, is present in this world, those demons killed, Dantavakra, Shishupal, Shalva, they're killed by Vishnu, who's merged within the original Supreme Personality, got it. And what about delivering the sadhus? Puttanaya sadhunam. Actually, a real sadhu is already delivered. Anyone who's absorbed in devotional service, Mamsi yoga vicharina, bhakti yogena sevate, sagunan samati jaitan, brahma bhuyaya prabhati. One who's non stop engaged in devotional service, they're already free from the material nature, the three modes, they're already liberated. They're already delivered. Krishna doesn't have to come to deliver the sadhus. So, why actually does Krishna himself personally come, besides the work that Vishnu does? Of annihilating the miscreants, Krishna comes to display his Vrindavan pastimes. He comes to focus attention on Bhoma Vrindavan so that people will want to go back home, back to Godhead. He comes and displays such pastimes that everyone becomes attracted. Everyone who's qualified becomes attracted. Mm-hmm. Later in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll hear Krishna's talking about bringing his associates with him, devotees who staff his Krishna Leela. Just like you want to staff a temple, preaching center, various devotees. You're opening up in Cardiff, so well, this person will be the receptionist, this person will be this person will be that. So Krishna also, he staffs Leelas. It's all arranged by Yogamaya, the personnel department. So, Kaviraj Goswami, revealing Krishna's modus operandi, presents Krishna saying, taking these pure devotees with me, mother, father, like that, girlfriends, playmates, taking these pure devotees with me, I shall descend and sport in various wonderful ways, unknown even in Vaikuntha. I shall broadcast such pastimes by which even I am amazed. Even Krishna is amazed by his own pastimes. Think about that. How many of you can look at your activities and say, even I'm amazed at what I do? Now you have to be very proud and arrogant to say this thing. One sports star, you know, American football star, won the Super Bowl, the winning kick, 2 years in a row, 2 years out of three. So, he just told her news reporters afterwards when they're all surrounding the cameras,
I just don't know how I do it.
Oh, glory to me. That's not how I do it. You've got to be arrogant to say something like that, you know. But he thought it was like, but you know, the new understanding these days is this is good self-esteem. To project yourself.
I don't know how do I get to be so wonderful?
These days, that's considered, you know, well-balanced and healthy psychology, you know. Not that you give credit to someone else. It's all my teammates, you know. Yeah, we're all a team here. All glories to the team. No. The cutting edge of psychological health is just to, you know, attribute it to yourself.
Yeah,
I really worked hard for this. I trained, and now we can all see the results. Like that. That's just, ooh, he's a very advanced person. Normally, though, any kind of gentleman or lady would not say such a thing. But Krishna, what can he do? It's true. His activities amaze even him. His beauty amazes even him. You all know the verse from Lalit Madhav, how Krishna's looking at a beautiful pillar in Dwarka, and he sees a reflection of himself in the pillar. That's how first class the marble is. You can see a reflection. And he just innocently and naturally wonders, who is this person? This person's beauty is stealing away my mind. Now, can you look at a reflection of yourself in the mirror and honestly say, who is this person stealing my mind away? You can't do that. That's the difference between you and God. The Krishna can honestly do that. It's not a put-on. It's honest. Wow. I am so much hankering to embrace this person, just like Srimati Radharani. Is hankering to embrace this person. Who is it? This is natural, innocent, non-calculated awareness by Krishna. That's how beautiful Krishna is. So also, he's amazed by his own pastimes. And Kaviraj Goswami is explaining, you won't even find these pastimes in Vaikuntha. They are very special. Because Krishna is so amazed by his own pastimes, he decides, I wonder what these pastimes taste from the viewpoint of a devotee. I'm amazed. So he comes as Lord Caitanya to taste those pastimes as a devotee in the midst of those pastimes. So therefore in Caitanya Charitamrita you'll read Lord Caitanya. Suddenly merging into Krishna Leela as a participant and tasting it all, following Radha and Krishna to a cave, attracted by the sound of their ankle bells and the beautiful conversations of the gopis. But then Lord Caitanya's associates, they wake him, and
what did you do that for? I had Krishna. I was just about to go into this cave, and you all made a loud sound and brought me here. Oh, I've lost Krishna. What am I going to do?
So, because Krishna's pastimes are so wonderful, even Krishna is amazed by his own activities. Now, that is the real reason why Krishna himself, as Swayam Bhagavan comes, the original personality God, not to adjust the cosmos. You remember at the beginning of Krishna book, at the beginning of Krishna Leela, how the demigods were disturbed by the demoniac influence in the world, and so they went to Brahma, and then Brahma went to the shore of the ocean of milk and prayed, as all the demigods recited the Purusha Shukta prayers, and then Brahma sat in meditation, and from within his heart Lord Vishnu spoke, saying, I'm coming. So, Kaviraj Goswami is pointing out here, it just so happened that that time for cosmic realignment matched with the time for Krishna personally to come and do his Brajabhumi thing. But that is the real mercy upon the conditioned souls. More than Vishnu's cosmic maintenance, cosmic rectification, filling of demons, the most merciful thing that is done for the conditioned souls is done by Swayam Bhagavan, Lord Sri Krishna himself, personally, not his expansions or plenary courses. What does Krishna do? He acts in such a way that when you hear about his activities, you become free from material contamination. This is described at the end of the 9th canto of Bhagavatam, in the verses that are pointing to the 10th canto. Just to show mercy on the conditioned souls, and knowing that Kali Yuga is coming, the worst of all ages, Krishna acted in such a way in the Dwapara Yuga so that just by hearing of his leela, you attain spiritual perfection. Sometimes we wonder what to do about the strong waves of material desire. We're speaking about that Friday. About the tsunamis, yes. You're standing on the shore here in Swansea and see a tsunami coming. You can't outrun it. We describe how fast they go. When they're out in the ocean, they move as fast as a jetliner. When they hit the shore, they're only moving 100 miles per hour, 160 kilometers per hour. You can't outrun that. But sometimes it seems material desires are crashing down on you at that speed, with that weight. What to do? Sometimes devotees get hopeless. Oh, I can't go on like this. Oh, might as well give up now. And you know, Maya's right there in your ear. That's right, give up now. Somebody had given up. I mean, you should never stop believing in God, of course. And you can even go on believing in Krishna. But as far as, you know, the program of sense control, just let that go for a while. Get it out of your system. Then when you're old in your 50s and 60s, you'll just get right back into it. Maya makes it seem so simple. You ever notice how simple and easy Maya makes material existence look? All I have to do is this, all I have to do is that. It's not the best, but it's not so bad also. There'll be a few problems, no doubt about it, but there's something there that will hit the spot. Just look at you suffering in bhakti yoga. You just bite your fingernails all your life. A little bit of sense gratification helps to balance the system. Keeps the energies flowing, you know. After all, you're not Paramahansa. You see, your Prabhupada, he was good. I mean, but you got to understand, he was mainly speaking for the Paramahansas. You're humble, you know you're not a Paramahansa. So therefore, you know, just realize the platform you're on. That's humility, Vaishnava humility. So leave it to me, your friend Maya, to teach you Vaishnava humility. Are you listening? Okay. I want to be humble. So, just admit you're not on a certain platform and, you know, just naturally act according to your propensities. As Krishna says, what will repression accomplish?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for giving me new insight into Bhagavad Gita. Right, what will repression accomplish means I, you know, I'm exempt from the regular principles for a while.
Actually, what is your protection against these tsunamis of material desires? Would you believe that simply by hearing about Krishna's glories, Krishna's activities, you're protected? That is the effect. When you have ears purified enough to take this cure, and if you follow our process of bhakti, if you follow the principles of devotional service, your ears will develop to the extent that by hearing about Krishna, you're protected against the waves of material desires. Of course, the topmost cure requires more qualification. As many of you have read in the introduction of
saw this Shiv Ram Raj's book, the one before the current one, about the qualification necessary to hear Krishna's intimate pastimes. The cure given by Shivade Goswami is that you hear about the intimate pastimes, the Madhurya Leela, and you become cleansed of lust, but you have to be qualified to take that cure. But in terms of Krishna's other pastimes, the less confidential ones, they'll still do the job for you as you're becoming qualified to take the ultimate pill. Therefore, in the ninth canto, at the end of the ninth canto, Sukadeva Goswami says, just by hearing of Krishna's activities, you'll be protected from the waves. You'll get relief from the waves of material desires. And then later in the tenth canto, Sukadeva Goswami presents the ultimate pill that, you know, for those who are qualified, who already had some experience in stopping the waves of material desires by hearing about Krishna's activities in general. The ultimate pill is to hear about the Madhurya Leela. And if you're qualified, then that will that's the final solution. You have to be qualified for that one, though. I remember in Los Angeles, some devotees, this is about 1976 or so, they were arguing with Prabhupada because Prabhupada was very angry that there were some very neophyte devotees who were, they had a club in which they would just discuss Madhurya Leela and thinking that they were gopis and this and that and the other. And they started a whole club, even writing other temples, and Prabhupada was so furious. I remember I was at the BBT, I was working for the BBT then, and I was like in the what used to be called the layout room, because then, you know, they didn't have computers, a page maker and all that. Just everything was done manually. So I was there, and somebody had given me some maha, and so it was a nice piece of, you know, sandesh. So I was about to take it. All of a sudden, some Mataji comes running in, grabs a sandesh and runs out. Just like in Gopi Leela. Wow, this is really getting too much, yeah? Then while everyone was doing devotional service, you know, during the day, you know, it's Los Angeles, so, you know, so many things to do, you know, book production marathons, Sankirtan booming, so many activities. But then these devotees had this superior understanding. It would be like 12 o'clock in the middle of the day, and, you know, they'd be out with a flute playing, another devotee would be reading Gopi Leela, all the other inferior devotees are, you know, doing their service, you know, they kind of look down at the other devotees like, guys don't know. They would even start saying that your leaders are keeping you from the real nectar. Your leaders are just pushing you to do all these practical activities just for their benefit. They're not telling you that you should just sit down on the grass with us, listen to the flute, and hear these pastimes. That's all. But anyway, when Prabhupada came, he was furious. Ooh, he was so angry. Yeah. First he roared at the leaders, how can you allow this to go on? And they were just shaking. And then they brought in the various leaders of the club. And these guys were so out of it by that time that they began to argue with Prabhupada. Why can't we focus on this? Isn't it the highest? Prabhupada said, yes, but you are the lowest. So then they were just outrageous. They even, Prabhupada was so furious. One of them said how, you know, even Mother Yashoda, we don't like to hear about her. At that point, Prabhupada transferred away, he just lost it. these little polluted devotees, just, you know, two steps out of Kali Yuga, and here they are saying, oh, Mother Yashoda, you know, it's not so elevated to hear about her, you know. And then they try to be shastric with Prabhupada. That's what Sukadeva Goswami say, that by hearing the Madhurya Leela, you'll be purified. And Prabhupada shot back,
But if you're not ready for that cure, instead of being purified, you'll putrefy. That was a real intense thing. So then they, quite a few of them were not convinced. They just thought that, we got that nectar. We don't want to give it up. They left the room, and Prabhupada said, these persons should never be trusted. Never be trusted. And I could see later, but except for one out of the whole club of maybe 20 persons, they all just fell away. Except for one. The one who didn't, he was so repentant. Oh, what have I done? Oh. He was so apologetic, and he's very serious devotee, still doing very important service today. But and all the others just thought it was, why is Prabhupada getting so upset? It must be the leaders who pushed him to be like this. They gave him false information, therefore, made a big thing out of all this. They were gone within 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, actually one of them, one of the chief ones, the one who's arguing with Prabhupada, he goes on with his infamy. He's the one who does the famous Pada website. Yeah, you know about that. If you don't worry about it. Yes. Anyway, it shows you how things can be misused, but also things can be properly used. And Chaitanya Charitamrita will teach you how to properly use these leelas of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is giving you preparation, solid preparation. He's laying the ground. There are different avatars. At the time of Krishna's appearance, they all merge in Swayam Bhagavan. But Swayam Bhagavan Krishna has no other purpose except to display these most glorious pastimes to attract the attention of the conditioned souls. His purpose is not to take away the burden of the world. That is Vishnu's purpose. It just so happened that the time for cosmic rectification coincided with the time to display the Vrindavan Leela. So, we should think about that. Krishna had a purpose. He wanted to make known to everyone Raga Bhakti. He displayed his Dwarka Leela as mercy on those who are following Dharma precisely, which most everyone should. The Dwarka Leela, ideal household life, yajnas, Dharma, Vedic principles. That's why Krishna did his Dwarka Leela. But then, he also wanted to demonstrate love for me can become so intense that it's possible to even turn your back on dharmic principles and attain the ultimate goal of Dharma, which is simply pure love of me. He wanted to demonstrate that, and he did that through the Braj Leela. This is the great mystery. You see, in Braj Leela, you can blame Yoga Maya. That's what Kaviraj Goswami explains. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mahatmanas tumam bharata dainamash. Prajanachina nimalasa. The Mahatmas, the great souls, the most advanced devotees, they are directed by Yoga Maya. How are they directed by Yoga Maya? Kaviraj Goswami explains that Yoga Maya causes Krishna himself to forget that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and causes the devotees to forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so they'll love him as their lover. This is the result of Mahatmanas Tumam Bharata Daivim Prakritamashrita, taking shelter of that Daivi Prakriti, that divine internal potency, Yoga Maya. It arranges that you forget. It even arranges that Krishna doesn't think he's God. He becomes just the loving boyfriend of these spiritual girlfriends. And these spiritual girlfriends, they don't see Krishna as God. Yoga Maya covers them.
So the whole thing is arranged by Yogamaya for Krishna's pleasure. This is God. He doesn't even have to arrange for his pleasure. He doesn't have to orchestrate anything. His energy is orchestrated all. Now, there's another problem to this, though. These pastimes, as you know, these Madhurya pastimes, are very puzzling for non-devotees. They've been muddling over them for centuries, ever since Westerners found out about Krishna Leela. They just can't put their minds around it. What is this? Yeah. What kind of God is this? I remember speaking at festivals in Ukraine and Russia. Go again this year. The Ukrainian festival has like 2,000 devotees, and the Russian festival has 4,000 devotees, and more than Mayapur. So, in the Russian festival, I was doing seminars with about 1,100 devotees there. So I asked them, how many of you all had difficulty at first accepting that God has girlfriends? And more than half of them raised their hand. It was a little bit problematic for us. And I asked, how many of you in your wilder days had problems about the idea of you having a girlfriend? No one raised their hand. That's natural. That's normal. But Krishna, God, no. He can't have girlfriends. This is the envy of the conditioned soul. What's natural for the conditioned soul, we have a problem about God having it.
How can God have girlfriends?
Basically what you're saying is, that's my thing. It's not God's thing. He should just be worshipped by, very reverential hymns. He should send his only son and we'll kill him. He should create the world in 6 days and then have to sleep on the seventh day. That's God. God having girlfriends, dancing with them in the middle of the night, in the middle of the forest. How abominable. Because that tendency is there, Yogamaya has a special effect on such persons. Yogamaya samavrata, as Krishna himself explains in Bhagavad Gita, naham prakasya sarvasya yogamaya samavrata. Krishna says, I'm not going to show everyone what I'm up to. I'm not practicing. I'm not going to let everyone see my inner pastimes. They may read some book and think they're knowing about it, but no, they'll not actually be able to grasp what's going on. Yogamaya samarata. I cover it by the Yogamaya potency. The branch of Yogamaya, as you know, that bewilders the conditioned souls is Mahamaya. And Yogamaya, personally, deals with the devotees, bewilders the devotees. In other words, you've got to be bewildered one way or another. It'll either be bewildered by the external energy, but it'll be bewildered by the internal energy. But you cannot be God. You're just always going to be blinded by illusion or blinded by love of Krishna. You take your pick. So Yogamaya manages the Vrindavan Leela so that Krishna doesn't act like he's God in terms of majesty and control, and so that the devotees, they don't see Krishna as God, they see him as the sweetest boyfriend, even so sweet that they're willing to leave their homes and families and husbands to race off to Krishna in the forest. This is all the arrangement of Yogamaya, management. This is management in Goloka Vrindavan. It's done by Yogamaya. Not only will you be attracted to Krishna, but you are going to leave your own husband and race out into the forest. Of course, you know how these are all spiritual affairs which cannot be understood with material senses. It's interesting to know the role of Yogamaya in all this. How Krishna doesn't even have to arrange his own pleasure. So these kind of activities are what Krishna does as Swami Bhagavan. Not maintenance, not protection, not killing demons. Now, these pastimes, these leelas, these intimate leelas, are so nectarian that even Krishna is amazed by his own activities. So he comes as Lord Chaitanya to savor these leelas as a devotee. That's the point that Kaviraj Goswami is making. Alright. Are there any questions? Yes.
Brahma has one day. Brahma is 1,000 divine yugas, which is a very long time. Now, Krishna appears in one day of Brahma, which means one divine yuga out of 1,000. So there's 999 balance. What's our position of the living entities who don't get exposed to Krishna Leela? Or do they have access to Krishna Leela through the scriptures and that Krishna appears in another day of Brahma, etc.? What's their position?
Bhagavatam is always there. You're just very fortunate to have taken birth at such a time. Even a bit more than 500 years after the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Very fortunate. Life in the material world means, you know, bhutpa bhutpa paliyate, created and annihilated again and again. So, at some point, your good fortune will catch up with you. As you take birth again and again, you'll, at some point, have some darshan of some avatar. This is also explained by Kaviraj Goswami, that Krishna, and it's also there in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna appears in every species, not just human species, every species. Bhagavatam does not list all the avatars, it only lists the avatars that you as a human being are responsible to recognize. For you, if the avatar is not listed in Bhagavatam, you're not supposed to accept that. Still, the fact is, there are avatars in every species of life. So, every species indeed means every species. Somehow or other, all creatures are getting contact with the Supreme Lord. But it's just that the Lord's Naralila, his human-like pastimes, are a special benediction on the human species. Because in that Naralila, the Lord displays his human-like Vrindavan pastimes. Therefore, that's actually the most intimate reason why the human form of life is considered the greatest gift. Now, ordinarily we say, because the human body has the developed consciousness by which to understand what is God. The more intimate reason is that humans can very easily be attracted to the Brajalila because it's almost human-like. Then again, at the same time, because the Brajalila looks a bit human, people can misunderstand. So therefore, Yogamaya Samavrata. Yogamaya has to prevent meddlers from having access. So the meddlers just dismiss it. Hindu love God, forest love God. Just like at Cambridge University, right now still they have the Bowden Chair of Sanskrit. That chair was funded by one Colonel Bowden back in the 18th century. He funded that Sanskrit department with Oxford or Cambridge, I'm not sure. Money that whatever scholar blasphemed the Vedic knowledge most effectively, they would win the prize. Still, that chair, it's called the Bowden Chair of Sanskrit. Either Oxford or Cambridge, I can't remember which one. That's how it started. That's the history of it all. Still exists today. Colonel Bowden. In order to protect Christianity, save the suffering people of India, I hereby endow this chair with money for whoever makes the most documented, authoritative blasphemy of Vedic knowledge. So, these scholars, they just went right to the 10th canto. Look at this immorality.
at this licentiousness in the name of religion. Disgusting. Meanwhile, they're all adulterers, drunkards, but yeah. This is the work of the bewildering potency of the Lord. Keeping the meddlers out. Don't meddle with this. You just you be bewildered. Don't understand. But for the devotees, the simple, humble devotees, qualified by devotional service, they can understand. Yes.
Marsh, does that mean that if we're in another portion of the day of Brahma, we have no? I mean, I'm just trying to work out. I'm just trying. Somebody.
You have no what?
Somebody asked you this question.
If you're another part of the day of Brahma, you have no what?
Access to Krishna's divine. Someone asked a question. I couldn't answer it.
Well, you're not. But. You're not in the part of Brahma's day when Krishna is physically present in his world, are you?
No, I'm saying that Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago.
But still, he's physically, in the ordinary sense, he's not here now. And so you're hearing about Krishna?
Yes. So there's possibly another day.
Bhagavatam is eternal. How are you hearing about Krishna now? How?
Through the Bhagavatam.
Through the Bhagavatam, through the devotee. That's what is Krishna saying in Bhagavad Gita? Imam Vivasate Yoga Pokemon. I spoke this same stuff 120,000 years ago. But you guys boxed it up. Sakkalinaha Mahata. In the course of time, the true purport was lost. It doesn't mean like Bhagavad Gita was lost. It means the clear understanding of it was lost. Krishna says, therefore again I'm saying the same thing. So, you know, that's the way it is. This knowledge is eternal. So you take birth and die again and again, and throughout that taking birth and dying, you're fortunate, you get some chance to hear about Krishna. Who knows what you might have done in your previous life?
It's frightening to think.
Maybe just unconsciously, without knowing it, you helped a devotee. Has it ever happened to you, as you're going about your day, that just someone out of the clear does something to help you? That's a super soul inspiring them. They don't know it. The super soul is inspiring them. Help that devotee. Also, the super soul inspires persons to do demoniac things. You want to be a demon? Here's your chance. That's why sometimes you meet someone and that person all of a sudden becomes extraordinarily inimical. Has that ever happened to you? They don't even know you're a devotee sometimes. They just smell something. Yeah, just no reason at all. You know, you're not dressed as a devotee, but they just snarling. I remember once, like New Zealand, I went. I just a few devotees. We had some business to do, so we dressed that way and went to a motel, and the guy just looked at us, and even though we had a reservation and had paid the money, the guy just, I don't want you guys here. I said, something about you I don't like. Just don't want you in my motel. You're just shocked, you know. Okay, give us the refund, we'll go somewhere else, you know. The guy, he even wouldn't take the money, you know. He just, something about you, so much you people. The super soul in the heart's telling him, your business is to offend devotees, and then you'll get the reaction. Yeah. Anything else?
You're mentioning how Yoga Maya Samarita covers the Krishna's pastime. And yesterday in class, we were saying how through the preaching movement, there's a symbiotic relationship between the preaching and the pastimes, and hearing the pastimes of Krishna, entering into the pastimes of Krishna. So, Could you kind of explain something about your realization of how that sort of that works, how one becomes qualified and realizes Krishna's pastime through his sanctified movement?
Lord Chaitanya is the key. You take your Radha Krishna Leela through Lord Chaitanya. What does Narottam Das Thakur say? He teaches you how to approach Radha Krishna through Lord Chaitanya, through Lord Nityananda, through the Rupa Sanatana Goswami, Gauranga Balitehave, Kula Kashari. When will I chant the name Gauranga so tears come to my eyes? First, I have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda to free me from material desires. And then, free from material desires, I can understand Vrindavan. And then, by the mercy of Rupa Sanatana Goswami, I can appreciate, I can understand Radha Krishna Leela. So, the Sankirtan devotee is a great worshipper of Lord Chaitanya. You have Panchatattva here. You take your approach and Radha Krishna Leela through Lord Chaitanya. In that way, the internal and external are woven together and feed each other. And I gave you that example from Los Angeles. How there was this controversy amongst the Sankirtan devotees in Los Angeles back in the boom days when work distribution had just started, and Sankirtan devotees were saying that, you know, book distribution is in the mood of Nikunjayuno Rati Kele Shiva Yayali Bhir Triyapakshaniya, as spiritual masters assisting in making, in arranging for confidential pastimes in the groves and the kunjas of Vrindavan, arranging meetings, Krishna and the devotees. So I explained how devotees were thinking. Some were thinking, oh, this is Sankirtan fanaticism. There they go again, way over the top, you know, concocting this little one about the Sankirtan. It was a big controversy. So, as was done back then, you send a letter to Prabhupada and he replied, this is true. Everyone's mind was blown. What? This is true. So, I also explained how to the Bhaktivedanta Institute, to the scientist devotees, Prabhupada said, the more you kick on Darwin's face, the more you worship Radha and Krishna. So, focusing on Lord Chaitanya gives you the access to connecting the inner and the outer, so to speak. Sankirtan devotees are preachers there, so dedicated to Lord Chaitanya. Through Lord Chaitanya, they can understand Radha Krishna Leela. That's the easiest way. That's why Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita says, someone who thinks they understand Krishna without understanding Lord Chaitanya, they're in complete illusion. In fact, he even says they're demons. Just to make the point. Anything else?
At the beginning you were saying that for this age it's preaching. You were mentioning that how when Prabhupada installed Krishna Balaram, that for
chanting,
for formality's sake, he did the yajna.
Mm-hmm.
But still we see devotees interested in jyotish, interested in yajnas, interested in puja. So that still goes on. So what's the necessity compared to the chanting?
Because as Jiva Goswami explains, even though it's true that you can get perfection in the age of Kali just by chanting Hare Krishna, because people's minds are so wild, as we discussed yesterday, the archana is necessary for making their minds peaceful so they can more easily chant Hare Krishna. How did you notice yourselves when you're having the archana process, you're here before Panchatattva, your mind is more focused and crystal clear and you can easily chant Hare Krishna. So there's no doubt that you can, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, attain all perfection in Kali Yuga, but for more help, just to make a better circumstance for you to take that cure, you have the deity worship process. So, nothing wrong with devotees learning all these things, as long as they know what the real focus is. But you said Jyotish, you mean astrology? Yes, that can be a sensitive one these days. Quite a few devotees, they think that is very essential in terms of this is the way it's going to be. My chart says that I'm going to have problems, so I guess it's time for me to have a problem. The best one, does Bhakti Vijayapura Raja, does he come here? He's the best. I have to try to find a lecture I have, because I had him give a whole presentation about Jyotish and how it applies to devotees and how it doesn't. He's masterful at it. Yeah. He's very expert. He doesn't go to one extreme or the other. No Jyotish, no astrology at all. Nor does he, it is the way, the truth, and the light. It tells you everything. He presents it as it is. I should try to find, you remind me, I should try to find that lecture. I was asking questions maybe 7 years ago in Sydney, Australia. Or maybe you can get him to do it again. He probably won't remember he did it 8 years ago in Sydney. He can give a masterful presentation. The ins and outs of Jyotish, how it applies and doesn't apply, and how in this day and age it's very difficult to find an astrologer who can actually predict events. Marriage compatibility, that's this kid stuff. It's not, that's not intricate Jyotish. But like predicting when events will happen, that's takes some empowerment. Anyway, when you see him, you can, if you get him to speak on that, you can take a copy for him. You heard this? Have you heard anyone in New Zealand with that? We haven't. Must be around somewhere. Anyone else? Hi. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.